It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the topic of who do you trust in this world of so many different avenues and sources of people wanting and vying for your trust. I mean, some even literally paying for it. Who is it that we actually do trust? Jeff?
It's easier to say who I don't trust. That list is long as opposed to who I do trust. I mean, if you ask who I do trust ultimately or just a little bit, like what's your scale there?
I guess just in general. I guess if they gave you if they gave their word, you would take it.
They gave me. Okay. So we're talking about a flesh and blood human being person here on
Earth.
Yeah,
person
right
to person. Just your common general sense of trust.
Well, certainly my wife. I trust my wife above anybody else. Anybody else.
Well, we know wives are never wrong, right?
Well, I won't say that, but she is less wrong than anybody I know, including me. I hate arguing with her because she's almost always right. She's brilliant. But beyond that, of course, you got family and you trust them because, again, not that they're always right or even dependable. There's a difference in a person being malicious and forgetting something on purpose versus accidentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a promise or, yeah, I'll be there or I'll bring this to you or I'll be there for you. It's one thing for a person to do it because you're absent-minded versus I'm an intentionally not be there for you just to hurt you, mm-hmm. right? So there's those people. Like I have family who are just forgetful. You know, it's not that my little brother, he had brain surgery. And so his short-term memory, I tell him all the time, but he doesn't remember that I told him because he has short-term memory problems. But his short-term memory is not as strong as it used to be because he had brain surgery. And they removed a part of his brain for seizures.
So he's got old-timers.
Yes. he's a young guy with old-timers. Yeah. But great guy, though. But if you don't send it to him electronically by email or text or whatever.
So he's a got-to-have-it-written-down person.
Yeah. He may forget. And it's not malicious. And so do I trust him? Yes. Am I going to remind him? Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, family, certainly friends. You know, I've got people that I trust in my friend group more than others, and that's kind of where you're at. There's people I trust less, and there's people I trust more.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Yeah, I think everybody kind of has that little inner circle of people, and then I think many of us maybe think, you know, we have this wide and large circle of friends, but I kind of feel like you maybe have one or two really good friends that when, like, if all else failed, those people are going to be there for you kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess the better question is if you broke down in a different state than Ohio, you're on the road with your family, and you broke down, who would you call to come get you?
Yeah, that's where I kind of think those one or two people.
And that's where it's at. It's like
or maybe you just call AAA.
AAA's broke down. Who are you going to call? You know, and it's like, you know, you're in a bad place. You've been arrested. You've been accused of a crime. Who are you going to call?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That's the people you trust.
Is it, what kind of crime am I accused of over here?
A bad one. Like you're going to prison.
I guess I better call an attorney.
So you trust attorneys then?
Well, I mean, if they're talking to you, they're lying to you.
They're like a politician, right? or a used car salesman. And if you're a used car salesman, listen to our podcast or attorney, that wasn't personal. It's just sometimes you guys lie a lot.
Actually, I should say that if you're paying them, they're lying for you.
Lying for you. Yeah. There you go. You're bending or twisting the truth, right?
Uh-huh.
For your benefit. Yeah, a paid liar. Oh my goodness! So who is your person then? Who do you trust above all else? You're gonna get in trouble if you say this wrong.
You're right. I would also say just as you, my wife, and you know, then once like you said, I think everybody has that core group of their family members, and you know, like I said, the one or two good friends. And I think of actually a story of back when I was in high school, and me and my best friend, we'd have these little pool parties at my house when my parents would be at work over the summertime, and. We got the great idea one day that why don't we jump off the roof and into the pool? And
a blind guy jumping off the roof.
I realize in hindsight it wasn't a good idea. But anyway, here we are. We're up there. And, you know, he's like, oh, you just got about 3 or 4 feet of concrete and you're in the pool. Take a good jump. then I took the good jump. I made it, thankfully. But looking back on that,
how did you know which direction to jump off the roof?
Well, he had me all lined up and everything. I just took complete trust.
Was it a running jump, or did you just have to hop off?
Well, no, I just took a good like just platform jump. And off I went.
I just could have ended so badly.
Oh yeah, it was concrete or water were the two landing points.
Are you still friends with this friend?
I don't see him as much as I used to, but yeah, we still stay in contact. He lives in Columbus now, so.
Isn't it wild the things that we used to do as a kid? And yes. You're like, you look back and you're like, what was I? There's no way I would do that now.
I think what's cool though is if you have that faith and trust, like in the moment I wasn't even thinking of it and it worked out in my favor, but how different could that have went if I didn't have that complete trust in what he told me and I slipped slightly or hesitated in jumping or...
Well, yeah, you hear stories about where somebody misled someone for a laugh, right, for a prank, and it's like, and that person didn't think it through of the consequences of what could mm-hmm. happen, and you're like, oh my goodness, that could have been me, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, I've had plenty of those moments of, wow, that terrible thing could have happened to me instead of someone else. Absolutely.
That'll keep you up at night right there. Mm-hmm. But no, ultimately, the only person I ultimately trust without question to never forget, to never drop me, to never go back on their word is God.
And that's, you know, what's crazy is when you put that trust in him and you think all else has failed, there he is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the things that otherwise would keep me up at night, I'm able to go to sleep and find rest because where I don't have control, he does.
And you trust that that's going to be how it goes.
Yeah, like Sunday, I had a ladder. I'm afraid of heights, and I was standing on a ladder. I would like to think in all situations, I trust God like I trust a ladder to hold me up. Like you're sitting in a chair right now. You didn't wonder, is that chair going to hold me?
Right, I just sat in it.
Yeah, you just sat in it. And that's where I want to be, not in a moment, but
in your entire
life.
Like in your whole relationship with God.
Through life.
That makes total sense.
That's what I'm aiming for. And I don't always do that well.
Me neither.
You know, but that's where I want to be. That's more of an issue of my failure, not his. He's always been faithful. I just don't always.
He always provides that mm-hmm. metaphoric seat of sitting on, per se. It's just a matter of if you choose to always sit down and rest.
Yeah, to rest in the chair.
Or if I'm not sure, that looks like the seat's maybe a little down in the water today, or maybe it's a little high up on top of the ladder. I'm not sure if I could climb up there and sit in that.
I had to call my brother, my oldest brother, Jim, to help me get this story right. And it's kind of a neat story it's just a perfect illustration of this. My father's a pilot. Have I told you this story before?
I'm not sure.
My father's is a pilot. I think he still has his license, but I'm not certain about this.
You only have one pilot story or what?
Well, about trust, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I wasn't sure. You're just like, my father's a pilot. Have I ever told you this story before?
Well, you would know. You'll pick up on it right away. It's kind of a unique story. I'm in the plane. I'm too young to remember the story. So myself, my older sister Jennifer is in the back seat, and I don't know who else is back there with us. But
so this is just a little private plane.
Little private plane, okay. And my dad's flying, and my oldest brother, Jim, is in the cockpit with my father, right?
Okay.
And we're flying over JFK Airport.
In New York.
I guess so. I don't even know where JFK Airport is.
Yep.
And this was before they had Doppler radar. And so there was no way to know outside of visually seeing a thundercloud, a thunderhead. When you saw that, you didn't want to fly into one of those.
Mm.
And so, yeah, so what you would do is you would call into the airport and say, hey, look, there's a big thunderhead ahead of us. We're a small plane and we need a new vector. Well, my dad did this. And you couldn't just pick a different vector, like the direction up, down, sideways. It was so tight because it's a big airport. There's a lot of planes mm-hmm. and jets. And if you move a little bit, you're going to hit somebody. So my dad's in a beeline straight into this thunderhead. And he's asking for a different vector. And the tower control says, well, it must not be that big because nobody else is talking about it. So they didn't give my dad a different vector.
Mm.
So we hit this thing. And I'm not a weatherman, but I understand there's these updrafts. And my brother Jim said, now listen, I don't know the altitudes and whatever else. But obviously, we're trying to land this plane at the airport. So we're, you could see us from the ground, maybe 6,000 feet
okay.
off the ground. They hit this thunderhead and got caught. We hit it. I don't remember it. We hit this thunderhead and hit the updraft And he said, within seconds, we're at like 12,000 feet. And my dad's screaming, "Mayday, mayday, mayday." And he said, he turned the power off on the plane and you're hearing all these stall alarms, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, and he said, he looks out the windows. At first he saw the water. And then by the time he looked back out the window, watching the wings flap like a bird, you know, all these things, he said, looked back down and he couldn't see the ground. He couldn't see the water. It was... And he said the dials were spinning like the fastest clock you ever saw. He said it was so scary. And the whole fear was not just you're in this updraft, you are surrounded by planes and jets.
Yeah, there's no no good landing zone.
No, and there's no power. The props on the plane are not spinning anymore, and we're just going up fast. Jim is looking out the windows, looking around. My dad's screaming, "Mayday, mayday, whoop, whoop, whoop." The alarm's going off. He looks in the back seat, and there's me and my big sister laughing our heads off.
Having the time of your life.
We were. He said we were floating in the air because you're going up and then we would drop. We'd hit the other draft down.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we're just laughing because it's picking us up in the air and we're floating and then we're slammed down the seat and floating in the air and slammed in the seat. And we thought it was the best ride in the world. He's scared to death going, "We're going to die." And we're going, "This is so great." And he said, the point was, he said, looking back on it now, we weren't afraid and we enjoyed the best roller coaster ride of our life because we knew our father had us. And he was scared to death because he didn't know.
Well, he lost control of what he thought he was controlling.
Right, right. Sure. He said, now he goes, "Now listen, Dad never really had control and you misplaced your trust." He said, "But that is the kind of trust that we should have in our Heavenly Father."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, absolutely. And that's where it's at. It's that I want to live my life with Him where I don't fret over the small stuff. And the key to that is to realize to our God, everything is small stuff.
And how good of an illustration is that story of the modern day? You got people that think they're on their best ride of their lives right now and other people that think we're all going to die.
Ephesians 3:20 says this. I love this picture, this perspective in reference to God. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us." And that's amazing. You just rest there and realize God sees us on our best day, on our worst day, and he has us and he can do more, even more than we even think or imagine.
And look at all the people that just kind of seem to, just all throughout history, even like just in big moments, kind of seem to metaphorically come out of the woodwork with some momentous event or occasion that they did or provided or put forward. And they always kind of seem to give one person the credit.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's give due credit where it belongs.
And that's, yeah, to God. Exactly right. And, you know, Matthew West has this little hashtag that I thought was really cool. I saw on Facebook this week and he says, "My story and his glory." Mm. That's pretty awesome. Trust in that and you're going to go a long way.
I love those consolidated statements like that. You know, mm-hmm. Well, listen, bottom line is this. Man, I don't care what man you trust, any flesh and blood person, including your spouses. Sorry, honey.
we're all going to let each other down at
absolutely.
Some point.
Yeah, you're going to, but God never will.
Rather intentionally or unintentionally. Right. And you're exactly right. God intentionally never will.
Never will.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.